What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Sports Hour Pod. Guys, I think we're at episode 6 now. It's been crazy. We're 6 weeks into doing this, and I'm more excited than ever about what we're about to do.
Yeah, it's been so far so fun ride. I'm really excited for this week's episode.
It's awesome because, like, our first episode, we started with the college football finals coming up and ending, and now we're at the Super Bowl where it's ending. We're 2 months, I guess, into doing our podcast, and it's fun to now transition from football to better things, I feel like.
Yeah, I love the variety we've done so far, basketball, football, baseball. I just love how we can talk about anything. It can be pretty good.
Let's talk about football for just a second. And guys, I reflected on it probably about 5 minutes after Super Bowl is over. Football's gone until August. It's pretty heartbreaking, I can't lie.
Like we said, that's the majority of our topic so far in our podcast being football. I mean, we talked about the college football playoff, the Super Bowl, the playoffs. I mean, we made picks in our playoffs, and now we've come to the conclusion of the season. I mean, now it seems like there's a void in our topics going forward.
You know, I necessarily don't completely agree with that. I know I love football, but I'm actually just – we got 6-7 months of baseball now, and it's like we pick up right where we're about to end, and we're starting – fresh over, and it's. I'm just really
Toby,
excited.
Are you really about to try to start an argument? Not even a minute and a half to the
He's a baseball guy. 6-7 months. He can talk baseball for an hour for 7 months straight, but for other people, it's not.
Well, I know for a fact we're getting 4 months of college baseball. For a fact.
0 months of MLB, sadly.
I don't know. Officially today, you know, the spring training is going to be delayed officially today. We're 1 day in, so maybe we'll get it, maybe we won't. I know I'm really looking forward to college baseball and hopefully get to see some
baseball
this year.
Catcher's supposed to report.
They're today, this morning,
today
yeah. And so with them not reporting, that means that they got to have their week of preparation before spring training. I think spring training was supposed to start 2 weeks from today.
Is there any – like news coming from that front with the lockout?
Not from what I've seen. I know Major League Baseball today, they had put forth a discussion that they want to cut a lot of minor league jobs today. And that's another thing that they're trying to push for. A lot of like jobs maybe in like ballparks and things like that, they want to cut those jobs out completely and the Players Association wouldn't meet them today.
Yeah, that's obviously an ongoing thing. But you talked about Super Bowl picks, Grady, and playoff picks. And let's talk about, we've got three things to talk about. First off, giveaway. Congrats to my fiance Hannah. She did win. She won legitimately three. She went 3 for 2. Everybody else went 2 for 3. So congrats to Hannah. Thanks for everybody that entered our giveaway. We're going to be sending that out to her. I'll probably just hand deliver it at this point. But
like the refs in the Super Bowl, this was rigged.
Rigged. Bradley's in the next room definitely saying it's rigged. He thought he had it. But next thing is the winner of the playoff pick'em. Congrats to Grady. Grady, one game ahead of me, picked the Rams. I got to be honest, I thought I had it until about a minute 20 left in the ball game.
I think everybody did. Everybody thought you did. I'm not going to lie. I thought you had it too. I mean, the Bengals were in control. I felt like 20-13 and the interception. I mean, I thought it was a ball game then. But from then on, I heard Shannon Sharp talk about on Colin Cowherd yesterday. He said from that point on, there was 22 snaps left in the rest of the game. Joe Burrow was sacked 7 times in those 22 snaps. Mm-hmm. Also, they only have 50 total yards of offense after that point.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And finally, the loser of the pick'em. That, it's a two-way tie between Garrett and Toby. They're going to be jumping in the pool here at the quarters. Check out our Instagram and Twitter at SportsHourPod. If by the time this episode drops on Wednesday, we'll probably have already posted that. But
I'm really looking forward to it. Garrett, are you ready to jump in?
Not really, but
I think, are we doing it fully clothed or what?
Yeah, no. Gosh, please.
I would do it naked.
Toby, you're feeling lonely after Valentine's Day.
I am. This was a tough weekend.
Oh, man. But let's talk Super Bowl. That, since we're on that topic, you know, like you said, Joe Burrow just was manhandled, quite to put it frankly, in the final moments of the Super Bowl. Questionable holding call at the end gives the Rams new life in the red zone. They score. Joe Burrow gets them to about midfield, and Aaron Donald wreaks havoc on the final play. I don't know if y'all saw, there was an angle. Ja'Marr Chase had burned Jalen Ramsey, yes. Had him on the ground, was wide open, about to walk into the end zone. But Aaron Donald is that dude, walked through the line essentially on the final play, nearly sat Burrow and sealed it up for the Rams. Got to say, congratulations to the Rams. I mean, they're one of the few cases where, and Toby, I'll let you get it next, they're one of the few cases of a team going all in, basically mortgaging their future for a ring, and it actually paid off. So,
well, like, I'm not one to say this because I think there was a lot of bad calls on both sides of the football. You know, that deep ball to Jalen, mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey was a face mask. He definitely got away with it. Final play of the drive, the reason why Aaron Donald was able to get up in the middle, there's a review that come out that Aaron Donald was about 2 inches over the side of the football. His helmet was leaning over it, and it was just a blown call on all sides, and they should have had another play.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I did see that. And it's so sad because I don't know if y'all would agree with me. Until, withstanding the Ramsey play, which when you see it in full speed, it's easy to understand how they missed that. It looks like two guys just battling for the football. But withholding from that call, besides those final 2 minutes with the holding call on the Bengals and then the missed offsides, the officiating was phenomenal in that game.
It really was, especially in the end zone when they were getting ready to score that touchdown. It was definitely like bang, bang. I know there was a pass interference, but they were able to get the ball again. And it was just like, overall from what I saw, it was a pretty good called game. But there was a couple missed things that I think really went on both sides that, you know, when they missed it, they missed it.
Yeah, I was going to say – I'm going to give credit to the Rams, but I'm going to say this was the Bengals game. I think the Bengals lost this game more than the Rams won it.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right.
The Rams didn't have a rusher over 25 yards, didn't have a receiver over 100 yards, and Matthew Stafford threw two picks.
Did Kupp not end up over 100
yards? No, he did.
Yards.
No.
It's so crazy he won MVP despite that.
I mean, they had no guys with
two big touchdowns.
Huge like numbers, and the Bengals just did not take advantage of that.
Quickly, though, coming back to last week, I made a statement just kind of jokingly about Cam Akers only getting 20 yards rushing.
He got 21.
And he had 21, and I think we both texted each other when that happened.
No. Mixon, we want to talk about the Bengals' offensive line. How many yards did Mixon run for?
72. Wyatt, 70.
He had a great offensive game as a running back. Like, they dominated the line of scrimmage. I mean, thinking about the Bengals, you wouldn't think that. But up until his last 22 snaps, they really did have a great push. 5 or 6 yards a play, they would get those yards. They went away from the run. Toby's always talked about they went away from the run when they got up 20-13. Why? I guess they put a lot of their faith in the quarterback that's got them there, but why didn't they trust the guy that had a solid game up to that point?
I think to rebuttal against that is I think the lack of depth on the offensive line showed. I think that offensive line was beat in the third quarter.
I mean, I watched the first 3.5. I guess you're right, but the first 3.5 quarters, I mean, he would get 3 to 5 yards before he was touched.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really bad.
And that's one thing about that Rams defense, man. They beat you and beat you all game long. And I think that's just what happened is like kind of trench warfare. And it just finally gave right in the fourth quarter with all those plays. I think it just finally gave out.
You know, one thing that sticks out to me, people, that I look at, I'm looking more towards the future after this game. I heard a lot of people when asking them, you know, who are you going for, Rams, Bengals? Because this was a Super Bowl, we all agree. This was one of the more fun, neutral Super Bowls to watch in a long time. Two teams, you really didn't care who won. You were glad to see both of them there. But I saw most people saying, you know, the Rams, because Stafford deserves a ring. And here's the main thing. This is probably his last chance. Because most people have the assumption that the Bengals will go back. And they very well may. They could go back next year if they draft a couple pieces on the offensive line. However, I bring up the point to them. Most, you know, Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl in his second year, lost to the 49ers and Joe Montana, never went back. Aaron Rodgers, he wins at Super Bowl 45. Everybody thinks Packers are a dynasty building. Aaron Rodgers in 11 years has not been back. Tom Brady has made it to where we are so used to guys going back and winning multiple Super Bowls, even though he's the exception. Guys, there's a lot of times that teams and, you know, fantastic players, they get that one shot and they don't get another chance.
I've got a hot take already for next year. I think the Bengals won't even win the AFC North next year. I think they might not even make the playoffs next year because the Ravens are going to be at full force next year. The Steelers are going to have an accommodated quarterback that can play a little bit next year. And the Browns are going to be back next year because
division of football next
Baker
year.
Baker Mayfield's later won't be fixed next year. I mean, it's a very competitive. There was no teams this year in the AFC North that were just pushovers.
You want? I'll add to that. You want a hot take? I'm going to take it a little bit different. With 7 teams now able, the North next year will be the first team to have all 4 teams go to the playoffs.
I could see that too. But also, I kind of rebuttal against you. From what I saw all playoffs, I think the Bengals are 2 offensive linemen away from building a solid contending team.
Well, they are. I'm not saying that, but the main thing I say is, I mean, look at the Packers. The Packers have been the last 2 to 3 years, arguably the most talented team in the NFC every year. it is just so hard to win playoff football in the NFL.
And I think all of us can agree, I'm not the biggest NFL guy. I watch NFL football, keep up with it, but I'm not the biggest NFL guy.
As a Giants fan, I wouldn't be either.
And that is true. But we had some good years, though. Really, this Bengals team, I watched them throughout the playoffs and toward the end of the season. They really got my love for football again. They're just a fun team to watch. And I think next year, riding the hype that what they have, if they have a good, if not maybe a decent to a good free agency period into drafting, I really could see this team going back in the playoffs, maybe winning a first round. Maybe not going back, maybe not winning the championship, yeah, but at least competing again.
I think you're exactly
and
right.
And I think coming back too on the Rams, I disagree that this is his only chance. I think the Rams are right there contending. I think they're
I want to do something right there, you saying that. I want to do just a quick this top off my head. Way too early, you know, you have way too early top 25s. Way too early Super Bowl predictions for next year. On top of your head. Who wants to start?
AFC against NFC? Your Super Bowl pick right now. The Chiefs will be back next year. I think they'll be in the Super Bowl next year. Chiefs in the AFC. NFC team. The thing about that is where will Aaron Rodgers be and where will Jimmy Garoppolo be? I don't think the Cowboys will be there. I don't have a lot of faith in them right now. I'm guessing it's gonna have to be the Rams again too. The Rams and the Chiefs will be my pick right now.
I'm gonna go Bills and Rams.
You know, I 100% agree with Buzz. I think the Bills are right there at it, and I'm going to say Bills-Rams too.
I think it's a block.
Let me go out of left field. Ravens-Cardinals.
You know, I almost said the Ravens, but then I started thinking about can Lamar stay healthy. If he's not healthy throughout the season, they won't
I think
the
he'll
playoffs.
Be. I think he'll be healthy next year. And I think the Cardinals started off so well. I think they are just a piece or two away.
You got to get Kyler Murray some protection.
Yeah, and a second weapon besides DeAndre Hopkins.
Agreed.
Larry Fitz, baby. But he is 50 years old, though.
I'm going what Gray said. I'm going Bills and Chiefs.
No, Bills and Chiefs both in the AFC.
Bills and Rams.
No, you're good. I'm the only one thinking the Rams don't repeat in the NFC next year. Okay.
I think the Rams are right there, man.
No, I think it's because
they have a good start. They have a great serviceable quarterback. They have all the weapons in the world. They have a pretty decent offensive line. I think it may need some help. They have maybe three pieces on the defensive side of the football that they need to replace,
Do you think Aaron Donald – you know, he they talked about before the game that he might possibly go out on top. Do y'all buy into that?
You know, I think that he could, but also I think they could sit him down and say, we've built a team that could go back-to-back.
I think that next year the Rams are going to have to get a good viable two or three receiver. I mean, Odell, when he went out the other night, they doubled Cooper Kupp. And
let me say, the Rams were missing Robert Woods. With Robert Woods, they have that number two.
Right.
So that was unfortunate.
And then they had Higbee, too. He was out because he had an MCL sprain, I think.
That was just an unfortunate night for the Rams.
Yeah. But, I mean, depth is always good, especially deep in the playoffs. Like
no, I completely agree with you.
A great example of that is the Ravens this year.
You know,
I mean, they had nobody at the Ravens this year.
I necessarily don't believe that they need a second wide receiver this offseason. I think they need kind of a combo back. Like somebody who can, you know, maybe help Cam Akers out a little bit and also pull out to the slot.
So, an Ely then?
I was literally going to say that. You read my mind. But, like, I know we're Ole Miss guys, but, like, that's a dude that I really think the Rams could benefit a lot from. Is a guy who can maneuver around and you don't have to strictly be a running back, strictly a wide receiver. Because, you know, they did that a little bit with Kupp this season where he'd line up in the backfield a little bit. But I think they need somebody to do that.
They tried to do that with Akers later on, but he had that terrible game against the Buccaneers, and I feel like they were too scared to ever –
He also had a terrible Super Bowl.
So
Cam Akers, from what I've seen, is not a very good running back.
Well, he's 6 months away from an ACL tear. I mean, Achilles tear.
I mean, Joe Burrow's a year off of ACL tear, and he took a team to a Super Bowl.
He's a quarterback, though. He's not a running back. He doesn't live with his legs. He lives with his arm.
Joe Burrow's pretty maneuverable.
Let's move. You know, we talk national sports. Now let's go a little bit local. We talked about wanting to talk high school sports for a long time, and this week's pretty much the perfect time with the first round of the playoffs going around the state. And I saw New Albany Morville tonight. I did that on game on radio. New Albany was one of my two picks to be representing the North in 4A. They're extremely talented. And Morville, I was not expecting much to be from Morville, to be honest with you. I was expecting your typical 1-4, four lays down, one rolls. Morville gave New Albany everything they wanted on the road tonight. And they had a fantastic performance on offense. They were fundamental. They did a really good job. They moved to a zone in the second half, made New Albany hit from outside. Until late, New Albany really couldn't do that consistently, allowed Mobile to get back, stay in and get back in the ballgame. And overall, New Albany is lucky to get out of that one alive. And I wonder how that's going to change their philosophy in the second round. I think they play Choctaw Central.
Toby and I were talking the other night as we watched the teams come out of their tunnels during the Super Bowl the other night. He's like, where's their emotion at? They're in the greatest sporting event in human history, in the Super Bowl. And these guys are just coming out there like it's another game. And I feel like these high school athletes, watching them play just a division tournament game, their emotion is so much higher, so much more driven, so much more just facial. Like, you can see their faces, see their body language and all the things they do. And it's fun to see these small schools, small North Mississippi schools like Pine Grove, Belmont, New Site, where these schools don't just go to school just to go to school. They go to school to play basketball. And it's fun to watch.
I watched Ingomar, and Garrett, I'll get you in just a second. I watched the other night Ingomar and West Union play for a division tournament. And I kid you not, the atmosphere in there with a lot less people, obviously, might have been more intense than going to a college basketball game that's even close to being packed out.
Especially at Ingomar.
Yeah, I know.
They're very serious about their basketball.
Ingomar, Baldwin, Neusite, Pine Grove, those are schools that
they live for basketball.
They do. I don't know if y'all remember a couple years back when they played in the pavilion, the state championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was
they beat Pine, Baldwin.
Yeah, it was Ingomar Baldwin. And Baldwin were playing the 1A men's. They packed out the lower dome of the pavilion for a 1A high school basketball game. Yeah. There were 3,000 people in that gym watching it.
Yeah.
Where it stayed at this year for the basketball?
It's at Ole Miss.
Is that Ole Miss this year?
I didn't think it was at Ole Miss this year.
I think it is.
Because don't they swap all three?
They usually do, but with COVID, I didn't think it was going to be here. Y'all keep talking. I'm going to look
it
up.
It was at the Coliseum last year.
Yes, they moved it back to the Big House, and I thought it was supposed to be in the Big House again this year. Supposed to be back at Ole Miss, but because of COVID, they don't want to risk not being able to make up games. So I'm going to check them out.
I might be like in the minority here, but high school basketball at the Big House is unrivaled. I'd much rather be at the Big House. And I mean, I love Ole Miss, the pavilion, but the Big House, I understand.
It's different.
It's the different vibe of the Big House. And anybody that's ever played in the Big House will tell. And personally, I did not. That's one of my big regrets from high school. I never got to play in the Big House, but just seeing games. That's one of the things I could have done, just play the Big House.
That's like a fresh smell of cow manure and lemonade.
Yeah.
The Big House.
Did you, Grady, Ripley, did you ever play in the Big House?
I never played in the Big House. No, I didn't.
So I played in all 4 years.
We're kind of lucky. Nice. But no, here's the thing about the Big House. And we really need to, we're talking about high school sports right now. We're just talking about the atmosphere. But it is one of the best things about it. But the Big House, I get the feeling is unrivaled. But that arena is just so downhill. I'm fine with keeping it in Jackson, but that arena has to be renovated. It has to be renovated.
But I want to move on to something else right here. I want to give a player of the week this past week. I guess we can start doing this too. A female player of the week this past week, Lily Whitley from New Site Girls Basketball. She had 50 points, a school record, and a playoff game against MS Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge deal. The record at New Site, of course, would be
43
points. She had 50 points in a high school basketball game.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
You just don't know how – if you've never played basketball before, it's hard.
If you've never played high school basketball.
Yes. It's so hard to score 20.
And, I mean, I'm not going to – like, their pace of play, too. I mean, they don't play very fast.
No.
But she got 50 points in a high school basketball
game. I just want to know how many free throws she had.
In a high school basketball game, scoring 50 basically means every time down the floor you're scoring.
Exactly. Yeah.
My player of the week, Kinsley Gordon from Myrtle, had 42 in a rivalry playoff game against East Union at home on Monday night, first round. Myrtle hosted East Union. Had 42. Went to the line multiple times. I'm going to have to look that up. I think she might have went to the line close to 20 times that night. But Kinsley Gordon is my player of the week in high school basketball.
My men's basketball player of the week this past week was Jack Hudson. He went 6-for-7 from three for Pine Grove this past week against Baldwin in the division championship game. So that's a huge deal for him to win that game against Baldwin in that scenario.
Kinsley had 41 points, 18 of 22 from the line with 3 3-pointers. That's efficiency.
Yep.
One game
playoff
started tonight, and me and my brother, Grady, went to Nettleton, and Nettleton went to Ruleville tonight. They got beat by 8. One interesting stat, though, Ruleville shot 34 free throws. Nettleton shot 3. So, not trying to slight any officials, but that's a bad look for Mississippi High School sports.
Also, New Site and Charleston boys play tonight. Charleston shot 21 free throws, and New Site only shot 2.
Another key stat.
Did Charleston end up winning that game?
Yes, they did.
I'm not the I was trying to think of what I was going to say. I'm not the biggest follower of high school sports. Compared to, like, what y'all seen now, the atmospheres in playoffs, how much different is it from, like, the collegiate to the high school level, like, with atmospheres?
I mean, to be honest with you, unless you're in a high-intensity collegiate atmosphere, that's like I said, there might be, obviously, far less people at a high school game, but the intensity is worse. Like, the intensity is much more hostile and intense in a high school game.
Peyton knows this because you went to Nettleton. You know how this is. Mm-hmm. A Nettleton and Amory game or a Nettleton and Shannon game on a Friday night, there's no better atmosphere in Mississippi. I cannot deny. And a Baldwin and Boonville game.
Oh, my gosh.
Football or basketball. Mm. There's no better atmosphere than
that. I don't know. A Baldwin Newsite game?
Baldwin or Newsite Boonville. I mean, yeah. Any Prentice County school like that playing against each other. Nettleton and Amory. I mean, it's a knockdown drag-out from the time the ball goes up to the horn sounds.
I got a player of the week for me. This is from my alma mater. It's my coach's son. He had 32 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. And they beat in their first round against TCPS. They beat him by 20.
What's his name?
Caden Howe.
Okay.
He's averaging 20. That's a fantastic stat line there. So, you know, before we move out of the high school sports, and y'all stay tuned. We're going to try to give y'all updates on games around the area every week as we – I've been saying a lot on the radio, road to Jackson, because this is what it is basically in this area, you know, especially in the northeast part of Mississippi. Everybody's worried about the road to Jackson. Are there any teams that really stick to out to y'all, guys or girls? Garrett, you're raising
Pine Grove.
Guys or
boys.
Guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Rowland.
Carson
Rowland, I'm sorry.
That dude's Jack different. Hudson. If you've ever played against him, the dude's different.
Jameis Cox, they've got three guys that are studs that can go.
Play JUCO. They could definitely play JUCO.
I know Carson can. Yeah, they're
Carson
two
sure.
Guys. Jameis is 6'3", 6'4".
For me, it's a girls' team. The Nettleton girls are legit. Be on lookout for Nettleton's
girls. Of course, Boonville girls are really good. They've only lost two games this year. They're legit.
Yeah.
But we've seen Boonville and Nettleton play this year. Nettleton matched up with them. Nettleton got beat 2 against Boonville at Boonville. So that's going to be an interesting take down the road if they match up.
I'm going to say one team, and they're a one seed, but I'm going to explain to you why. And it hurts kind of as a former West Union Eagle to say it. But Ingomar guys, and I really want to say this because, you know, down a leading score, not going to get into those reasons why, but Ingomar, down a leading score from basically all year, somehow is able to will their way to winning their division tournament at home. They beat Faulkner tonight. They're gonna have a home playoff game next week, and they're going to match them against Biggersville. It's a tough task. But tough task. But if there's a couple of coaches in the state I'm going to pick that could pull off that, it's Jonathan Ashley. He always has them play 100%. He always has them playing discipline. I'm going to tell you to watch out for Ingomar. I'm not sure it's going to be a tough task without their leading scorer to make it all the way. But that team's well coached enough to make their mark and really pull off a big upset.
If that game starts at 6:30 at Biggersville High School, they'll lock the doors at 4:00.
If it's at Biggersville, they're not winning.
No, what I'm saying is they won't be able to fit any more people in that gym at 4:00 if the game starts at 6:30.
Biggersville's gym's so small and they fit so many people.
Every person in Ingomar and every person in Biggersville will be there. They're both 1A schools, but they will be 8,000 people.
In that
gym. Look out from the Corinth Warriors, baby. Corinth. I think they play Gentry.
Picked up a huge win over Ripley. I'm going
to
be honest.
Ripley's coach went to Corinth this year. He was their head coach.
I'm not the biggest follower of high school sports. Mm-hmm. I know around here I should be. Everybody worships high school sports. They were down, I think, a 9-point deficit going in, like, late in the game. Went on an 11-0 run to win the game. My cousin Dylan, shout out to him. Mm-hmm. He's a sports writer for the Journal, and he was kind of keeping me posted on it. They really hit some big shots, and I think this year if they –
No, yeah, no,
they keep it together.
They were down 6 with just a couple minutes left and went on an 11-0 run to win it. I'm going to be honest. I picked Ripley to pull off an upset there tonight, and they, you know, Corinth on their home floor came back, did what was
Is
necessary.
Corinth 5A?
They're 4A.
They're 4A.
And they went down to 4A?
Mm-hmm. I think they've always been 4A. I think there was talk. I think there was talks a few years ago they may jump to 5A, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think Costco State 3A.
Did you see that they're trying to get a 7A?
I saw that.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting thing to see how it affects.
Who, Corinth?
No, like the state of Mississippi.
I was about to say, like, whoa.
I've actually want to give a quick shout out to Brandon Shields, if y'all follow him. He's a big high school man around the state. I'm going to read off a couple of big matchups, and then we'll move on from local sports. Pretty much in all the classifications. This is guys right now. Hickory Flat at Biggersville. Coffeyville at Ingomar. TCPS at Blue Mountain. That one will be, or that's girl. This is girls. Sorry.
Okay.
This is girls. TCPS at Blue Mountain will be an interesting one to watch. West Union at Vardaman. That'll be another interesting one to watch. 1A boys Holka at Biggersville. That one could be an interesting game as well. Wheeler at Byers. That's going to be a huge one. Wheeler has been on a huge win streak until losing to Biggersville in the division tournament.
They just can't beat Biggersville.
But Wheeler is going to have a chance to knock off a very good Byers team.
They're like 26-3.
I think they were 21-5, and they had rattled off like 11 straight before the division tournament.
They're a good team, though. Byers, I think it's so hard to win at Byers.
I think what I'm hearing is that we need to make a trip to Jackson this year.
Oh, I will be making a trip to Jackson. I'm sure.
You have to call the game.
Yes. Hey,
it's like $10 to get in.
$10
It's not a pass. No, it's for like 2 games, and you have to pay and then go back in. That's another thing. That's the MHSAA charging.
I would like to go. I've never been. I've never been to a state championship again. I really would like to go.
We might need to make that trip.
Especially when Corinth's
done. There's no better trophy in sports. We've talked about this before. The gold ball for basketball is the best trophy.
Yeah. I don't know. The Magnolia trophy you get from Ole Miss and LSU is pretty nice. Said no one ever.
One's at the big house and one is at the other one?
No. They're not doing that anymore.
They're both at the Coliseum. That's good because I hated that.
West Union at Coffeyville, that's another. I've played in that gym before. That's a tough place to play at Coffeyville. 2A girls, Calhoun City at Myrtle is one to watch. Pine Grove at East Webster. That could be a really good game as well. Yes. Choctaw County at Belmont. Belmont's an absolute buzzsaw in women's basketball.
Belmont's favorite, of course, to win 2A.
Yeah. Cahoma County at Pine Grove. That could be another really good one to watch in the area. Charleston at Choctaw County is another good one. Gonna rattle through these quickly.
So is this just North Mississippi that we're talking
about? Yeah, I'm just naming off big games in the classifications for our listeners to keep watch of. 3A, Amory at Boonville. That's going to be
that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Nettleton at North Panola. For guys, Louisville will be at Boonville next week. Mm-hmm. Looking at 4A girls, South Pontotoc at Clarksdale, Kosciuszko at Pontotoc, Gentry at Tisch County, and guys, South Pontotoc at Clarksdale. South Pontotoc pulled off an upset against Shannon tonight.
They did.
Last second shot.
That's great.
Joey's Austin is a good player. Last second shot.
That was one a lot of people were looking at for a 4-1 upset, and South Pontotoc was able to do it. They're calling the Highway 15 division of the three Pontotoc schools, Houston, Ripley, and New Albany. That's a tough division. That's a tough division. I saw New Albany. New Albany is a very good 4A football team this year. End up going 0-5 in division.
That's
going
to be a really tough baseball division too.
No doubt about it. But you know, I think that looking at it, that's about going to be it the rest of the way.
Tupelo boys are like picked to win state this year, which is first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Tupelo
boys.
So quickly, because I'm a novice, is it single elimination or double elimination?
Single.
Yeah, one and done the rest of the entire way. But that's going to do it for our local sports. I hope y'all enjoyed that. I really enjoy talking that for just a minute.
It's fun. Just like we've talked about, the emotion of high school sports is just unlike any other.
Y'all check back in next week. We'll be talking. At that point, we'll know who's going to Jackson. So we'll be able to try to do a little bit more of an in-depth preview. We'll look into those matchups, try to do an in-depth.
And I think I'm actually kind of a little ready for like high school baseball this year, especially like I want to kind of look more in Oxford and Lafayette County for baseball.
Y'all ready for Hot or Valid this week?
I am, man. Yeah. It's awesome.
All right. Best segment. Let's start with this one. This one's special for Toby, okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bring it to me. The first one, Elimination Chamber is going to be very underwhelming this week.
Oh, that is so valid, bro. It's not valid. So valid.
You're just saying that because Goldberg and Roman Reigns.
No, I'm actually kind of looking forward to that match. It's going to be quick. The Elimination Chamber itself is really set up to just be like, yeah. I really want Seth Rollins to win, but he won't. So, I mean, it's just...
So, correct me if I'm wrong. There's one for number one contender, and there's one for...
It would always be for number one contenders, but this year they have Bobby Lashley defending the WWE Championship, and then the women's one is for a shot, I believe, to Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
For WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it could be underwhelming. I love the Chamber match. The Chamber match might be my favorite match type in all of WWE. I love the Elimination Chamber. But... I don't know. I'm not feeling the field for the because I feel like it's coming down to Brock and Bobby. I feel very confident.
And you know, I think they could do a little surprise, and maybe Seth Rollins could win it. I would really like that. But it's just, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I don't mind the PG stuff. I don't mind it. But a match like that, there needs to be some little bit of red, and there won't be. And no, so no. It's just over the past.
Not unless it's incidental.
Yeah, unless Brock Lesnar says, Bobby hit me. You know, that's kind of thing. So I think it's just going to be a little lackluster, especially because Royal Rumble was really bad. Ronda Rousey winning was the only good thing. So I think it's going to be a little underwhelming.
Garrett, I'm going to ask you to abstain from this one for your own good. This is not trying to be slanders or anything. This is just a general conversation. Ole Miss took a very tough loss tonight to South Carolina. Kermit Davis will probably be on the hot seat next year. And, based on he's had a rough year. I want to say that with injuries, it's tough. But the reality of it is, with the SEC becoming a premier basketball conference, you have to. I mean, we're about to get to a point where you've got to win consistently. What do you guys think?
Of course, the fan base will put you on a hot seat. I mean, Mike Bianco, a guy that's been at Ole Miss for 20 years, I mean, people wanted to put him on a hot seat last year. And, I mean, if anybody should have a job at Ole Miss, it should be him. For me, for Kermit Davis, I like how he recruits. I like the many things that he does. But I'm just eager to see how next year goes. It's too early for me to make a call. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make a call because I'm not in that position to make. That's Keith Carter's call and nobody else's call to make. So, like I said, now in the place I'm sitting now, I'm not going to make a decision on that yet.
Here's the thing.
So I'm going to say that's a hot take.
Right? I'm going to say that it's valid, but I don't think it necessarily should be. Mm-hmm. I especially this year, I think Kermit has had a snake bitten season this year. I mean, you lose
from the very first game. He had Deshaun Ruffin broke his hand. He's out 6 weeks. That's out six.
Exactly. Guard, Deshaun's out, and in that 6 weeks, Robert Allen tears his ACL.
Yeah.
Our best big man, was going to be the leading rebounder, quite possibly one of our top three leading scorers.
Then
you lose Jarkel down the stretch, and just when you get Jarkel about back, Deshaun tears his ACL. This is a team that literally did not get to see all of its rotation on the floor. So I'm asking this again more as what you think about the fan base right now, because I do feel like he's in hot water with the fan base, but I don't know if he necessarily should be. I still think that Kermit, I like a defensive philosophy. I do think, obviously, the offense has to get better. No doubt about that. I don't think anybody would question that. But I like his defensive philosophy. I still believe that defense can win championships. So I do think he probably will have a decently hot seat next year, but I'm not necessarily sure that he should regarding an absolutely disaster season.
I love, like you said, his philosophy is very defensive-minded. But in the SEC today, I feel like that's a very archaic-minded philosophy. And, I mean, you watch our games, and you want to – like Ole Miss wins when the other team scores 40 to 45 points a game, maybe less than that, 30 points a game. But – with that type of playing ball today, it's hard to win games. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all honesty, to be consistently good at basketball. And I mean, I'm not questioning his coaching style, because it's gotten to where he is now. He's a coach at Ole Miss. I mean, there's a lot of guys that would cut off a leg to have that job.
Yeah.
But there's a lot.
As Garrett raises his hands.
But I mean, it's something to just see as it moves forward. Like I said today, I can't make a decision on that yet.
I personally believe it is valid. There's a lot of things that Coach Davis does that I like, and then there's a lot of things I don't like. And I won't say any specifics, but I think Ole Miss defensively were really good, but just over the past couple of years, even last year, the offense just hasn't been there. And I don't necessarily know if Ole Miss, especially with what our baseball program has built and what our football program is building, I don't believe Keith Carter wants us to look at it and say, are we fine with our basketball team being a middle-of-the-pack SEC team?
And the most cutting-edge thing we have on campus is the pavilion. Yeah. But the product that we have on the floor right now doesn't match that.
So I think if Ole Miss does not make the tournament next year, I really don't see him coming back.
We have to be competitive.
I do. I agree with that. Yeah. I think especially with how competitive the SEC has gotten, especially over the past 2-3 years when Alabama, Arkansas come out of nowhere, and you're sitting there and you're hovering at 500, you cannot do that. Yeah, but now. Yeah.
Go ahead, Buzz.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Peyton. I think he will be on the hot seat, but I don't think he should. But like you said, when you have one of the nicest facilities in the SEC, and we're all Ole Miss fans, we're Fairweather fans. We like when stuff is going good, we say extend Kermit. When stuff's going bad, we say fire Kermit. It's game by game. But I'm with you. If you don't make the tournament next year, I feel like some conversations are going
to
be had.
Well, here's the main thing about it is you look at – I saw a picture of the, you know, the crowd at tonight's game. And let's – I'm just going to put all the cards on the table. It was pathetic. It was absolutely pathetic, the crowd we had at the game tonight. And that's what – you know, Luke was a Luke had the dreaded vote of confidence by Keith Carter heading into the 2019 Egg Bowl. But then the outcome of the 2019 Egg Bowl and how it happened with Elijah Moore, as well as the apathy, as he said, that's what Keith Carter said. Apathy around the program was what it made that change come to fruition. That's the one thing I think everybody in the athletic department knows has to be better next year. People, fans have got to turn out to basketball next year.
There's got to be a spark from this team, and the only spark is offensively, how can we get up and down the court? How can we get people interested in the game? And right now, that spark isn't there.
You just built a very, very good arena that costs you unbelievable amounts of money. So, you know, to not be feeling it out, at least to the extent. Let's say this. Unless you are a blue blood in college, it's hard to sell out consistently a college basketball arena. Let's just be honest there. But when you have 9,000 seats and you're not even selling a third of them, that's an issue.
Even saying this too, is we're talking about selling out the seats. The few games I went to this year, it was mainly students there. Yeah. Your students are coming. Your students are always going to be involved. It is free, but they're always going to be involved.
Yeah.
But it's just a fact from what I've seen, there's nothing keeping me motivated that Ole Miss is going to be contending next year. There's nothing that says that from what I've seen, and I know recruiting hasn't started for college basketball really yet. Like, I know it's been a little bit. But from what I've seen, there's nothing that's saying that Ole Miss is going to be a top five team next year.
Let's move on from that to the next one. Let's do a quick little hit of NBA. And I think, you know, we said we were going to talk post-trade down a lot a little bit, but I feel like this is mostly what we're going to talk about. Obviously, James Harden getting traded for Ben Simmons in a Philly-Brooklyn trade. Nets, Big Three, how many games did they play together? 20?
16.
Yeah. The Nets, Big Three, is the most disappointing Big Three in NBA history.
That's valid.
Karl Malone, Gary Payton, all them guys for the Lakers were pretty disappointing. The Dwight Howard, Steve Nash.
Kobe.
That was pretty
bad. Those guys were older. All three of these guys were in their prime.
You didn't let me get to my point, though. But these guys, their egos ultimately cost them. I mean, Kyrie was there half the time. KD was there. KD was there most of the time. James Harden wasn't there. Ultimately, with those three guys, I think James Harden's going to ruin it for the Sixers, too. Kyrie's in all honesty.
And I mean, we talk about ego got in the way, but Kyrie was standing up for something he believed in.
I disagree. I disagree with you, Grady. I think the Sixers are the favorite in the East now.
I think it's James Harden, because, I mean, they got a guy that actually wants to play. He actually wants to play for them. And, I mean, I think it'll help.
They were able to get James Harden while keeping Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris hadn't been great this year, but off the bench scoring is going to be pretty good. Maxey has been great this year. And like I told y'all, James Harden and Joel Embiid on the pick and roll / pick and pop might be the best duo in the NBA.
Those two guys outside the court, though, Joel Embiid and James Harden, I don't think they'll work out.
But coming back to it, I think it was a hot take. We never finished it.
You can get anybody you want to when nobody wants to play for you. Like, James Harden didn't want to play with the Nets.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons didn't want to play for the Sixers.
That's a good point, too.
You know, that's the thing. He said basically that Philly was always first choice. He didn't. Brooklyn was the second choice. I call that cap, that's cap. No doubt.
He wanted to get a ring.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, I mean, ring chasing's a thing. So you're saying it's a hot take? Or are you saying it's valid?
On what?
That was the weakest big
three. I'm going to say...
Yeah, they're the weakest big three ever.
I'm going to say hot take because Carmelo, LeBron, and Russell Westbrook is the worst big three.
That was
three
another
ever.
Thing, though, because...
That's not a big three.
It wasn't the... It wasn't...
That's the joke. Yeah. I was looking to see who would notice Anthony Davis was gone. But seriously, that big three is up there for one of the most disappointing teams.
Another big story.
No, not this one.
Yeah.
Another big story about the trade deadline is the lack of what the Knicks and the Lakers did. They didn't make any moves. Mm-hmm. But again, you got to think about it. Who wants that Russell Westbrook contract?
Nobody was taking it all.
I disagree with you. I think that they were on the phone all day for Russell Westbrook.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Nobody wanted that contract, though.
I think they tried, though.
Yeah, of course they tried. Nobody wanted it.
The Rockets and the Lakers had a deal done for Westbrook and Wall, but the Rockets wanted a first-round pick, and the Lakers were good. And
we don't have a pick until 2027.
We only have zero. We can have all our picks for Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. So we could give up another pick.
And what's going to be worse is LeBron's already spoken publicly that when Bronny comes in the league, he will go to that team. So people will pick Bronny just to get LeBron James. And when LeBron leaves, when we don't have a 40 against 27.
You know, I think 41. I think too about that. I think wherever Bronny lands up, because I think he's probably going to be a middle to late first rounder. From what I've seen, projecting that I think if he's still with the Lakers, he's going to try to make a move and try to get him on the Lakers.
Look, let me say this though about that.
Everybody's 40.
You're right that he will probably be a back end first round pick unless somehow at 40. LeBron is still putting up like a 25-5 season. Somebody will overpick Bronny just for 2 years.
Get LeBron James just to have LeBron James on the team and fill those seats.
Yeah, no, you're right about
that.
Never
go to the Kings.
Look, let's move from that topic because we've moved on to something completely different. I don't know how that happened. Let's go back to Super Bowl for just a minute because this was a conversation we were having earlier, and this is one that I felt pretty passionate about. After his Super Bowl win, Matt Stafford is now a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
Even before the Super Bowl, he was a Hall of Fame.
That is so hot take.
And statistically, Matthew Stafford ranks top 15 in every statistical category. He's a top 15 quarterback of all time. Statistically, he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. It sealed it, but he already deserved it.
Let me tell you this.
How many Pro Bowls does he have? How many Offensive Player of the Years does he have?
Okay. But it doesn't matter. When he's top 15 in every statistic, and he spent 12 years of his career in the Detroit Lions where he was the best player.
Let me say this. Let me put my point because I feel pretty passionate about this. Volume stats without any achievements behind it are garbage because volume stats are basically
an example of that. Damian Lillard.
You know why Matt Stafford is top 15? He is a very good quarterback. I'm not saying that Matt Stafford's not. He's a very good quarterback. The reason why Matt Stafford is close to the top 15 is because the Lions were so bad that he was always throwing the football. Yeah. So that's why volume stats are there for the top 15. The last quarterback to make the Hall of Fame without a Super Bowl MVP, an MVP, or an Offensive Player of the Year, or an All-Pro selection, was Troy Aikman. He's the only one else ever to do it, and he won 3 Super Bowls.
I was about to say, if he wins another Super Bowl, then we can talk about
it. Yeah, he wins another Super Bowl, then we're talking about it. Yeah. But one Super Bowl, like I said, winning a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback, that's a great achievement, obviously. I'm not saying it's not. But what other achievements are there besides...
He's had one Pro Bowl.
You know, what other achievements are there besides being high in the stats and having one Super Bowl win when you weren't the best player on the field?
But, I mean, you talk about the Pro Bowls. You have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's in front of you.
I was going to say, Pro Bowls are – they're just like NBA All-Star saying, that dude's a 10-time All-Star. That's a garbage metric to rate players on.
He didn't have MVPs because Aaron Rodgers. He didn't have MVPs because maybe there was a couple guys better than him that was winning all the awards. If he would have been in the AFC, you couldn't tell me all day long that in the AFC he wouldn't have won one.
I don't know, but regardless, that's not the case. We're not talking hypotheticals.
I'm
the
saying valid.
The reason why I say that, the reason why I say that is because you look at Eli. He's another, obviously, one that we've debated before. At the very least, Eli is high in volume stats, but he's also got the 2 Super Bowl MVPs to back it up, along with multiple playoff records for comebacks. Mm-hmm. So that's a couple of big things that weigh on him. Stafford doesn't really have that besides the volume stats.
Hot take.
I'm saying a very hot take. I don't think Stafford right now. Now, Stafford would... He would probably be a late – I mean, I could see him after quite a number of years on the ballot getting in, but people are talking now like he's a like a first few years ballot guy. I don't necessarily see
a first ballot. Now, I'm not saying first ballot. I don't see they're sitting there, you know, 4 or 5 years. I think within 1 to 4 years.
I don't buy that yet.
I think there's a key concept too in the game that we're forgetting about. I think there are 2 interceptions in the Super Bowl.
The only reason he might is because the Hall feels like every year they need to put a quarterback in. So they might overreach and put him in, but I just think that's a hot take. And me, Grady, and Toby pretty much dominated it. Buzz Garrett, what do y'all think? Hot take or valid on that?
If Matthew Stafford retired today, he would not be a Hall of Famer. I do not think.
He wouldn't be a Hall of Famer if he retired.
So I think we all.
So I'm a league of my own. So yes. And you can even say this even before. I've always liked Matthew Stafford. I think we had discussions when we didn't do the podcast that I've always liked
him. And let me say this, Toby. I don't think – I understand your argument. I really do. I'm not saying, oh, it's terrible. You're making a horrible argument. I just personally think that the personal achievements aren't there to make the Hall. That's really what I'm saying. But final thing, and it's going to segue us into our final our final segment of today, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, they get to drop their banner this weekend for the national championship, and they'll be hosting a top 25 team in Long Beach State. They're on upset alert. Hot take or valid?
I think valid. Every weekend you go play baseball, you're on upset alert.
I think they might drop one, but I don't think they'll drop two. I mean, I may be wrong. They'll win the series. Yeah, I think they'll win the series.
Mississippi State will sweep them.
And I think we're kind of forgetting, too, this weekend, Ole Miss, Charleston Southern. I think that's a tough matchup.
It is, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But real quick, before we talk, because that's about going to be our final topic of the day because we're running out of time, I am going to say that State drops their first game to Long Beach State and then sweeps the back end.
Okay, so you're saying they go 1-2. I like
that. They're going to go 2-1, drop the first game, and they'll back end sweep.
I don't know. I haven't really seen much of their pitching, so I don't know how good they are in the back end of that rotation. So
I think Landon Sims is phenomenal. I don't know if he's going to be their Friday guy, but I could see him in his first starting outing maybe being a little bit rougher later on. And Sims an unbelievable pitcher, so I may be wrong. He may give me two middle fingers and go throw a perfect game this weekend. But I feel like he is might have a little bit of trouble adjusting to, rather than a relief appearance of six outs, you're talking about throwing 18.
Yeah, I'm talking pitches. On Sports Talk how when he come out to throw in the eighth or ninth inning, he'll come out gassed up. He emotionally, like he was engaged, like he would wear himself out in those two innings. He would be drenched in sweat and done after that ninth inning because he'd throw six outs. Now he has to go 15 to 18 outs at least. So as a longer stinted pitcher, how is he going to be able to maintain his emotions and go those longer amount of innings?
Coming off that, I'd like to ask a question. Do you think Mississippi State has the championship hangover this year?
No, I don't. I think Mississippi State recruits at too high of a level.
Lemonis is a great coach.
Lemonis is a fantastic coach, and they recruit at too high of a level. Yeah. I could see State maybe not making it back to Omaha because they really are replacing basically their entire nine in the field. But I think they're going to be a contender to win the SEC. I think they will probably host a regional, and I think they'll be three games away from Omaha. But I'm not saying they won't go to Omaha, but I think they'll at the very least make it to a super regional. Is there any matchups that y'all are really looking at? Obviously, the big one everybody's pretty much going to be watching, Vanderbilt hosting number 7 Oklahoma State. That's going to be one I'm going to have my eyes on all weekend.
Vanderbilt, they'll have to replace Kumar Rocker and later this year too, so that's another thing to keep an eye on. We've discussed this in the past as well. Just whoever comes out with the 1 and 2 as pitchers this year, I feel like will be the guys that will come out on top of the SEC. Of course, everybody in the field will have great players, but who will have those two dudes that can take them farther than the rest of them?
You want to hear a take? I've seen some people talking Liberty up, talking about them possibly finding their way in the tournament this year. Florida didn't have a great finish the last season. In the ball, they play at home. I don't know if you've ever watched one of their games at home. It's pitiful, the attendance they have, the crowd they have behind it. I'm gonna put Florida on upset alert against Liberty. I think Liberty could walk in there very well and take two games from them and take the series. But
it's always fun first opening weekend to see these little teams come up against the big teams and maybe win two or three. Was it last year when Central Florida came to Ole Miss and took two or three?
Yeah, that was after we swept the State Farm Showdown and was number one first series as number one first time ever in the program's history. UFC came in, spanked our tails, and went two or three. Really should have swept us. We got lucky to take one. They should have swept us at home.
You know, we're talking up a little bit about some games to watch. Oklahoma State and Vanderbilt.
Yep. Well, yeah,
talked about that one too, and I also wanted to mention Oklahoma at Auburn. I think that's going to be a pretty good game. Another kind of just thinking, I have some friends from Arkansas. We were talking a little bit today. Illinois State versus Arkansas. Illinois State is like a sneaky good team. I've kind of like looked up a little bit about it. They are like have pretty decent bats, and I think they could maybe come into Fayetteville and win a game.
Illinois State, they were in the Oxford Regional, if I remember correctly, last year. No, wait, that was Southeast Missouri, correct? Sorry.
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit. We've talked a bunch about this series, but Ole Miss and Charleston Southern, you know, that's going to be the series. Are y'all all planning to go to a game of it?
Of course. Let's go to one.
I'm going Sunday for sure. I asked off work Saturday and they told me no. So they said I get to play the game over the radio. So I guess I get to listen to Kellum all day.
Friday that they play at 4 p.m. Saturday they play at 1:30, and then on Sunday They play, trying to find that game. They play that one at 1:30 on Sunday. I might try to bolt
just,
over after
just virtual. Quickly. Just quickly, just want to throw it out here. What do y'all think Ole Miss goes this weekend?
I'm gonna be optimistic. I'm gonna say we sweep. I think the pitching is gonna show out. I really like. I think Diamond is going to have a very resurgent year. I believe in his stuff. I think it was a mental aspect. I think he had a bad start last year and he couldn't quite get over it. Basically, he was, he was a COVID freshman. I mean, you know, I think Diamond is going to have a really good year. I like him to win on Friday. The Corpus Christi transfer. I'm slipping on his last name. Can anybody?
John Gaddis.
Yeah, John Gaddis. I think he's going to be really good on Saturday. Bianca's teams usually do really well on a Saturday, traditionally. And then on Sunday, I think I liked McDaniel a lot last year. I think he stepped into some big situations throughout the year and got us wins that, you know, we really weren't expecting to have.
So I
like McDaniel to have a big showing on Sunday, and I think we sweep Charleston Southern. It's going to be a tough one. I could see all three being one- or two-run ball games.
Do you think it is supposed to get some rain in Oxford this week? Do you think that'll have any effect on it, on your pick'em?
No, I don't. The only effect it might have is we might play two on Saturday, or you know, two on one day, one on the other. But I'm gonna roll with the Rebs and winning all three. I think it's a good start.
I think we lose. I think we lose Friday night, but I think we win the next two.
You have no faith in Diamond?
No, I mean, Diamond. He never showed me last year that he could be that guy. I mean, I remember watching him pitching at Mississippi State, and he looked absolutely terrified. I mean, I know that's a great environment to start with, but if you're a starting pitcher in the SEC, you have to be ready for that. And, you know, he's had a year. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I'm an Ole Miss guy. I hope he does great. But until he shows me, I'm going to be a little hesitant on Diamond.
I'm ready to see how our pitchers do this weekend. I'm ready for Diamond. Like we all are. We are all eager to see Diamond throw this weekend. I'm hoping that he can go five or six. Of course, it's early in the year. You don't throw as many innings because we saw what happened if you throw a lot of innings last year with Hoagland, and you don't want that to happen again this year. I'm looking forward to John Gaddis on Saturday from Corpus Christi and then Drew McDaniel. I think we sweep this weekend. And I'm also looking forward to next week, Jack Washburn from Oregon State, the transfer throwing against Arkansas State. I'm ready to see all four of these guys. I mean, new faces, really. Diamond, I mean, in all honesty, is a new face. These four guys that are coming in throwing this year, I'm eager to see how these guys do.
I think Washburn's a big one to look at because when you look last year when Hoagland went down, we didn't really have that number four guy as a starter that could step up and you feel comfortable pitching him in a weekend series. You're hoping that Washburn, you know, can be a guy that you're confident enough to where maybe through the year you're like, hey, we got four really good weekend guys. Maybe we throw one against one team we like and one team against the lineup we like on another. So I think Washburn, if he can be successful against Arkansas State and you feel like you have four really good weekend guys, that can make a huge change on your outlook on the season.
It's good, too, because if some guy's slumping, has two or three weeks where he gives up four or five runs, then you can throw Washburn in there and let him work on his things in the midweek, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good to have some flexibility with your starters.
So what you thinking, baseball guru Garrett?
Rez by 100.
Rez by 100. That's a good way to look at it.
I don't want to say upset alert, but I think Friday night, if they can catch Diamond early and get some runs in, I think we could drop Friday night. I mean, of course I want a sweep, but I think I kind of agree that we'll drop the first game and win the back two.
Well, all right. So me and Grady are the true rebels. The rest of you are both.
He's at Rez by 100, though. So
Garrett, we'll throw you in there with us.
Hey, no, he's just talking about winning that Saturday game by 100 and then losing the other two. That's
but
what I mean.
No, every game by 100.
But I have faith in Diamond. Like I said, I watched a few games where he pitched. He got rattled early. Can he get rattled early and settle down in the third, fourth inning? And can he be the guy that after four or five, can he stay in the game or does Bianco need to pull him maybe earlier or can he let him ride?
He's got the tools. He does.
He's got a strong arm and he's got a lot of movement on that ball. I watched him pitch multiple times and a lot of movement. Can he settle down and if he does pitch to contact, can he keep the ball down and keep maybe in the infield and not let a fly balls go out?
Final prediction. Does anybody else – I want to say the final prediction for this game. Anybody else got anything?
For Friday night?
Yeah, just for this weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
Our boy Ben Van Cleve's getting his first collegiate Ole Miss home run this weekend.
Ben, I need you to do that on Sunday, okay, so I can be there to watch it and film it.
You know, he's talking to us after. He's like, you know, I still can't believe I hadn't got a freaking home run at Ole Miss. He's getting it this weekend.
He's getting it this weekend.
What time's the game Sunday?
1:30.
Yeah.
I think we'll be back by Sunday.
I am.
Are you going?
I'm going.
I'll try to make it back.
Are we
church.
Going for the beer showers? You know,
no. On Sunday,
we're
at the church. Take
our
Bibles
out there.
Oh gosh.
I may or may not sneak down the first base line during that game.
If anybody is listening that knows me from my church, I don't sit in that student section. I want you to know that. Toby, we're working on you, bud. We'll make you better. I promise.
I went to every single game pretty much. I was at Swayze last year, and I didn't sit in the student section one time. So,
man, but y'all, I believe we're at 55 minutes. We're gonna wrap it up. It flew by. This was a really fun one.
Good one. I like the 15-20 minutes we did about high school sports. I'm really excited to get into high school sports because that's all y'all talk about is high school sports. I'm really excited to maybe learn a little bit more. Cultured a little bit.
But final thoughts.
I think this weekend is going to be fun. I think you're going to actually get to see the Rebels play really well. If Derek Diamond can settle in, I think if he settles in, doesn't give up a lot of hits, I think we'll win the game.
It starts this weekend. Ole Miss is playing Georgia. Basketball. We're winning. And we're going to win the SEC championship.
Let's do it. Let's ride.
Talk them up.
It's crazy because I'm nervous. I don't even play baseball, but I'm nervous for Ole Miss baseball this year. I don't want to like put a lot of pressure on but there seems like there's a lot of pressure.
There
on
is
team
a lot
this
of
year.
Pressure.
There is. There's a lot of pressure this year.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think there's a lot of pressure.
I think
fans, we all want a national championship, especially because that other team won one last year.
But I think
this year, if we can just settle in and play like we did last year, we can be right there again. We had very little pressure last year. I know we got ranked number one a lot. After we ranked number one is when the pressure set in. But before that, we played loose. The back half of the season, we played loose. We got hit with the injury bug a little bit. But I think this year, if we could play loose all year, we could be right there in the Super Regionals again.
I think there is – when you see Mississippi State dogpiling in Omaha.
They're hanging a banner.
I feel like that picture has to be hanging up in the Ole Miss locker room. That's all the motivation you need. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I mean, we all know for a fact NC State plays that game. They win that series. And NC State was the hottest team coming into that, other than Arizona. They were the hottest team.
So what you're saying is state championship don't count.
It's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow.
I mean, Vanderbilt was hurt whenever they played them. So let's
end this one off. Garrett, Toby, go get your trunks on. Guys, we appreciate you so much for listening alongside us again. Probably already follow us if you're listening along. But if you don't, Instagram and Twitter, @SportsHourPod. Make sure to share us and give us a like. Be in the watch. Obviously, during our first Super Bowl giveaway, another one is coming pretty soon, especially if you get more people following on Instagram. That's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to have a giveaway coming up, and it's a good one. I think we know what it is. We just haven't announced it yet. It's going to be a good one. That's one you're going to want to enter in on. But I believe that's going to do it for us on the 6th episode of the Sports Hour podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening in. For Toby, for Garrett, for Grady, and for Buzz, I'm Peyton saying so long. God bless, and we'll see you next week.